This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You pay for electricity for your house, oil for the furnace, and gas for your car, all based on how much you use. Maybe you're even on a pay-as-you-go cell phone plan. So why not stretch this demand-based payment model to other things? Say, like auto insurance. Sounds a bit out there, but a pay-as-you-drive auto insurance plan is getting some serious consideration in Massachusetts. And the hope is, if you have to pay your insurance based on how many miles you drive, that maybe you'll drive less and then save money. And here's the kicker. Maybe even reduce your tailpipe pollution and therefore help Massachusetts reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. The environmental and economic push for pay-as-you-go auto insurance in Massachusetts, that's today's talker on Radio Boston. And here to explain is David Cash. He's Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Energy and Environmental Affairs Department. Mr. Cash, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Meghna.
Also, I just have to introduce one more person sitting right here next to you, because also with us is Joe Ferreira. He's Professor of Urban Planning and Operations Research at MIT, and he's actually instrumental in a study that's gone to inform the state's position on this pay-as-you-drive plan. Professor Ferreira, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So, David Cash, let me just ask you, this pilot of pay-as-you-drive is part of a statewide goal that by 2020, Massachusetts will be emitting 25% less greenhouse gases compared to what we were emitting in 1990. So how is having insurance by the mile going to fit into that?
Great. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me here. Let me step back a second and just talk about the context of the Clean Energy and Climate Plan that provides the roadmap for getting to this 25% below 1990 levels by 2020. As you just heard in the earlier piece from Governor Patrick, a key part and priority for the next 4 years is job growth. And that's actually been part of his plan in the last 4 years, particularly in the clean energy sector. We've seen thousands of new jobs in Massachusetts, whether it's in energy efficiency services or in new companies that are building batteries for cars to improve efficiency, save people costs, reduce price volatility. You also might have heard in the national news 10 minutes ago was increasing price of gas. Mm-hmm. Currently, Massachusetts consumers spend $6 billion for gasoline that all goes out of state. Those are dollars that are not building the economy here. We're only going to see those prices go up. So the way this pay-as-you-drive fits into this plan is a comprehensive plan of a portfolio of policies that gets at reducing costs, creating jobs, et cetera, for buildings, in energy supply, trying to boost our production of solar, of wind. Again, as you heard in the governor's speech, Cape Wind being the first offshore project in the United States. And then there's a whole host of transportation-related policies as well.
Because transportation is some
roughly
30%
of
our
greenhouse gas emissions. Exactly. And our state transportation department, MassDOT, has been a national leader on moving toward a more clean energy future for MassDOT in terms of its planning and support for greener transportation technologies for the T, for transit authorities in general. And this has been one of the things that they've been leader on. In fact, the pilot that we're doing is through MassDOT, mm-hmm, applying for funds to Federal Highway.
So basically, with a pay-as-you-drive system, the hope is that the incentive is to drive less. If every mile that you pay, you know, that's another mile I'm going to pay insurance on. What would the plan look like if implemented in Massachusetts?
Okay. And first, let me just stress, our first step is a pilot, where we are going to look at a lot of the implementation questions that are probably going to be asked in the next 10 or 15 minutes. But basically, right now, you pay your insurance in a lump sum, usually annually, or it can be split up bimonthly. And that's related to your basic risk factors, where you live, the age of your car, your driving history. What this does is it takes that annual fee and it chops it up into a per mile charge. So it's also based on your risk factors. So if you're a high-risk driver, your per-mile charge is higher. If you're a low-risk factor, then you'd pay lower per mile. And this would be done in the way it's done now by region. So if you live in the Worcester area, everybody in that Worcester area in general is going to pay the same as they're paying now. But it's going to be split up by mile. So you have choices. And essentially, this provides as so much in this plan does, provide consumers with greater flexibility and costs. At this point, you have very little incentive or way for you to lower your insurance costs. And this provides that flexibility.
And briefly, just so I'm clear, this is this program has been piloted in Massachusetts or will be piloted?
Will be piloted.
And when will that pilot be launched?
So we are in the midst of applying for funding through MassDOT to the Federal Highway. Once we get funding for that, and we're optimistic that we're going to get funding, we have insurance companies in the state who are very interested in trying this, as you'll hear later. And when that pilot runs for two or so years, then we'll have a lot of answers to the questions on implementation, and we could take stock and reassess how and if and how we're going to move forward with
this.
Well,
let me throw some questions to our listeners. Great. I mean, what do you make of this, listeners? Would you rather pay your insurance on a per-mile basis rather than in a lump sum every month or every year? And would you drive less if you did? And are you worried about perhaps equity issues in terms of a new pay-as-you-drive insurance system? And what do you make of this as a means to reduce Massachusetts' global warming gas emissions? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joe Ferreira at the Urban Planning and Operations Research Department at MIT, you were part of a Conservation Law Foundation study into what pay-as-you-drive might look like. So before we go into the details, how much do you think such a program would actually reduce global warming gas emissions here in the state?
Well, our estimates are that a program that adjusted pay per mile based on the actual risk that people generate, given the miles that they drive, would be able to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and driving by between 5% and 10%, depending upon how the scheme was implemented.
And that, as you said, is if everybody adopted a pay-as-you-drive
Yes, if it were used across the state for all private passenger vehicles.
Okay. And so, as Mr. Cash mentioned, that the pay-as-you-drive rate would be different for different drivers as it is now. So can you give us some examples on rates that people might pay, say, at the extreme end if they don't drive much or if they're, on the other end, a young urban driver, example, who already pays a pretty high rate?
Well, our estimates that try to match up the risk with the miles driven would end up with something like a 5 cent a mile average overall and some variation from, say, 2 to 10 cents a mile, depending upon the class and territory that you are in.
David Cash from the Department of Energy and Environmental Affairs, the overall emissions reductions that we're hoping for really do come if everybody is on this pay-as-you-drive system. Is that sort of the aim that the state has
long run? The portfolio of policies gets us to 25% and actually gets us above 25% because we take into account that some policies might not move forward and others will move forward. That's why this is set up as a pilot. We want to see how it works. If it were implemented full scale, then we'd see those kinds of reductions that we're talking about with greenhouse gases. We'd also see significant savings because as people drive less, they'll pay less for gas. We already see gas going up to $4 a gallon. We're talking in the range of $600 to $800 million of savings for people in that way. Accidents will go down. We'll see savings in that in the range of $500 million. People will be stuck in traffic less, savings on that. So we're seeing significant savings in the order of hundreds of millions to billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, the program isn't here yet in Massachusetts, but it is in many other states across the nation, and it also raises a lot of questions about how you're actually going to measure how many miles and where and when people are driving. So in order to answer some of those questions, earlier today I spoke with a man named Richard Hutchinson. He's the general manager of usage-based insurance at Progressive Auto Insurance. And they have a type of pay-as-you-drive insurance policy called the Snapshot Program. It's available in 24 states, not yet here in Massachusetts. And the Snapshot Program, we found out, doesn't just rely on how far you drive, but also how you drive. Richard Hutchinson explained to me just how it works.
They self-install a very small device into the onboard diagnostic port of their vehicle. And in the vast majority of vehicles, it's right under the steering column, and you just plug it in. And it tracks speed per second, which then can derive mileage, and it can derive braking and acceleration. And it also has a clock where it can tell time of day of operation, so it knows whether you're driving during the day or at night. And we apply different risk factors based on time of day. So with this information, we use that for pricing purposes, and we can We can tell whether you're a more aggressive or a defensive driver, or whether you drive, you know, hours which are higher or lower risk, and we can tell the mileage that you drive.
So you can tell a lot of information about drivers. It measures your speed that you're driving. It measures time of day. But it also measures, for example, if you have to apply the brake really suddenly and slow down more than 7 miles an hour in 1 second.
What we tell consumers is that, you know, in some cases, that's absolutely the safest thing you need to do, which is to brake very hard. So we don't look at individual instances as much as we look at the aggregate of braking. And, you know, what we say is if you have a lot more braking than somebody in your particular environment, it's suggestive that you're perhaps a more aggressive driver.
The device, is it sending it back constantly to Progressive, or is it something that, you know, once a year when you get your car inspected, it gets downloaded?
This device is a wireless phone, and it at the end of every trip, it phones out. So it constantly updates the information, and then our customers can go in and review that information online in their own individual policy accounts.
So you said you measured things like speed, braking and acceleration, time of day driving. Have you had any people or states say, hey, this is a lot of information that you're gathering about drivers. Why do you need so much?
Well, there's been an active discussion in that area, particularly around privacy. And the, I would say the most sensitive aspect of that discussion is around locational privacy. But in the Progressive product, we do not have a GPS measurement in there, so we don't know where you're driving. And so as a result, you know, we've been accepted by departments of insurance in currently 27 states. So we're finding acceptance for the product, primarily because it gives drivers an opportunity to earn significant discounts.
So how many people who are Progressive policyholders have chosen to participate in the Snapshot program?
We have publicly stated that over 100,000 auto insurance customers are on the Snapshot program.
So it seems to make sense that drivers who are in the program, if they drive less, they pay less, and so therefore ostensibly would save on their insurance payments. But from Progressive's point of view, how is it that this is making you money or saving you money?
Well, there's various ways that the program can work for an insurance company. In our case, it's a very effective tool to bring the safest drivers in the driving population our way to look at the product, and we hope that quite a few of them buy it. And so in essence, it helps us sell more insurance than we did previously.
Do policyholders have the opportunity to see what information has been sent to you? Can they check a profile of some kind?
Yes, they can.
Is that information that could possibly be, for example, subpoenaed in court cases?
The data can be subpoenaed in court cases. It would have to be an order of a judge, and you know, only then would we provide it. Our standard is that the data belongs to the driver and ourselves, and we would not release it unless the driver allowed us to. But in the case where a judge ordered it, we would have to. But that's very, very infrequent.
And lastly, I understand that Progressive sort of put its toe in the water regarding pay-as-you-go insurance plans back in 1999 in Texas, and now the program's expanded to 27 states. But we don't have it here yet in Massachusetts. Do you have plans on coming to the Bay State?
Very much so. We're trying to bring it out in as many states as possible in the country. We go through a regulatory approval process with it. You know, each state department of insurance, and we are already in discussions with the state of Massachusetts and hope to bring it soon.
Well, Richard Hutchinson, he is the head of Progressive Insurance Snapshot Program. It's the pay-as-you-drive insurance program. Thank you so much for being with us.
And thank you for your interest in having me on your show.
We are talking about a potential pay-as-you-drive program in coming to Massachusetts in the attempt to maybe make your auto insurance rates cheaper and also reduce Massachusetts' global warming gas emissions. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We have a lot of drivers who are very interested in this, so let's hear from them. Kevin is calling from Roslindale. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kevin.
Hi, how's it going, Megan?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for taking my call. What I wanted to add was to the conversation was the fact of Sunday drivers. Everybody knows who Sunday drivers are, and this program seems to be benefiting the inexperienced drivers, whereas people who are more on the road seem to be more experienced. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Kevin, thanks so much. Joe Ferreira at the Urban Planning and Operations Research Department at MIT, your response to that?
Well, there's no reason why an inexperienced driver and an experienced driver has to pay the same per mile rate. And in fact, when we did the risk analysis, we looked at actual claims compared to miles driven for all the vehicles insured in Massachusetts. And the groups of drivers with less than 3 years' experience of 3 to 6 did indeed have a higher per mile rate than those in the more adult classes. And there's no reason why a per mile program couldn't charge differential per mile rates based on the risks associated with drivers.
So similar ways people are differentiated now would just translate over to a per mile driving plan.
Yes, and perhaps a more fair way, since right now, regardless of how much you drive, people are paying the same rate.
Pete's calling from Southborough. Welcome to Radio Boston, Pete.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a small business owner, and I drive for a living. I drive probably 50,000 miles a year. I don't have any accidents. I'm a careful driver, but I do drive a lot. And my concern would be that that this would penalize people like myself who are driving for a living, don't really have a choice, and my insurance would probably double or potentially triple, even at 5 cents a mile. So I'd like to take my answer off the air as well. But
Pete,
appreciate some thoughts on it.
Pete, thank you so much for your call. Actually, let me turn that to David Cash, the Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Department of Energy and Environmental Affairs. Some people have to drive for a living.
Absolutely. And Pete, very much appreciate your question here. That's part of the point of why we're doing this as a pilot. These kinds of questions are centrally important in how we implement this plan. And over the next 2 years with this pilot, we'll get a much better sense of what the impacts would be exactly on kind of driver in your class, someone who for business purposes, commuting purposes, has to drive a lot. And that's something that we want to figure out how to deal with, and the pilot will help us do that.
I'd like to bring one more voice into this program. We heard a little bit earlier from Progressive Auto Insurance. They're not yet offering their pay-as-you-drive program in Massachusetts, but the auto insurance program at Plymouth Rock does have a mileage-based model. So joining us now is Paula Gold. She's Chief Regulatory Officer at Plymouth Rock Insurance. She was also former State Secretary, former Secretary of Consumer Affairs during the Dukakis administration, and also on the Board of Trustees at the Conservation Law Foundation, which commissioned a study that's been very useful in informing the state on how to implement a pay-as-you-drive model. Paula Gold, welcome to Radio Boston.
Nice to be with you.
Do you think that a company like Plymouth Rock could and should roll out a pay-as-you-drive model statewide, and that, in fact, in the long run, it should be mandatory for all drivers?
Well, actually, Plymouth Rock now, as part of its rating program, does look at miles driven and looks at it based on where you live, divides the state into a number of areas, and looks at it relative to people in the same area. So, for example, if you live in the western part of the state where average mile driven is more, if you drive more than the average, then your rate is not as good as if you drive less than the average. So it is one of our current rating factors, and do believe that it is, with other factors, predictive of accident frequency.
Paula Gold, there's something about this that almost seems counterintuitive from the insurer's point of view, that if people actually are paying less every month for how much they drive, that wouldn't that be actually bad business for insurers? Can you explain that to me? How does that work?
Well, what it basically depends is on how you assess the risk. If you charge the what is the right premium for the risk, because different drivers have different risk characteristics, then you can have profitability as it relates to that risk as well. Rather than some people maybe paying a little more than they should and some people paying a little less than they should.
And
it's all based on the pricing. But let me mention one other thing.
Sure.
The way we use miles now is that because every year you get an inspection and the miles are reported to the registry, that's the basis for our rating system now. There are no devices in the car. It's not as it doesn't send the same immediate price signals, but it is a recognition of the fact that if you drive less than the average in your area, then at Plymouth Rock you get a better price.
And Paula Goh, let me just turn one last question to you before I get back to our mm-hmm. many callers here. We can't lose sight of the fact that really one of the goals is to reduce global warming gas emissions here in Massachusetts, and that only works if everybody is under this pay-as-you-drive plan. But I understand you don't support making this a mandatory policy, so
well,
why
I
not?
I think at this point the pilot is a good thing to do. I think giving consumers options is a good thing to do. But we've just begun competitive pricing in Massachusetts. And so having the market at least attempt to deal with the issue is a good thing. And I think that the study that the Conservation Law Foundation commissioned Joe Ferrara to do is very good because it's information that's now made public. And I think if there's a pilot done in Massachusetts, that information will be made public. And there's no question that with better technology now, there may be better ways of pricing. And so I think before we talk about forcing one particular program on everybody, mm-hmm. there ought to be an opportunity to see what develops.
Paula Goh, Chief Regulatory Officer at Plymouth Rock Insurance, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Got a lot of action online on this issue. Ryan White writes on our website, most people are making trips and commuting less than 5 miles a day, and it would be nice if people would think twice before they drive just down the street to pick up a gallon of milk. The environment and everyone's health would be better for it. Devlin is sending us a tweet that he says, I already get a 12% discount on my auto insurance because I drive less than 5,000 miles per year. Let's turn to Rutland, and Al is calling. Welcome to Radio Boston, Al.
Thank you. Really, I have a couple of points. First, we live in a commuter society, so it's really difficult anytime you don't have a robust public transportation infrastructure to impose this kind of a cost on people who are already paying rapidly inflating gas prices. And those of us that have long commutes, which I would venture to guess is a huge number of people who, for example, live in Worcester County but work in the Boston area, but drive safely and don't have accidents, which, as I understand it, is one of the current criteria based on that our car insurance is rated on, is, I think, a little unfair.
Al, let David Cash from the Department of Energy and Environmental Affairs answer that. David Cash, your thoughts.
Thank you. It's a good point, again, as Pete had brought up about commuting. And actually, in many respects, Massachusetts does have a robust transit system. Certainly, we're looking at improving that. That's part of the one of the many goals of the Clean Energy Plan is to improve transit. So those kind of options are critically important. What this kind of plan might do is provide the kinds of flexibility where consumers can opt to change their driving habits in a way that will benefit them in terms of insurance costs. And this provides that kind of flexibility for them. Overall, in addition, if a plan like this is introduced, you'd see prices for everybody going down as accidents decrease for everybody. So we would see lower premiums for everyone over time.
And Joe Ferreira of MIT, your thoughts as well?
Yes. I think if we were to do this, it isn't imposing a cost on somebody. It's really just trying to get the price to match the risk that people are contributing. I'd also point out that among the people who are in the suburbs driving into the city, the issue isn't would their price go way up. It's whether or not they drive more miles than their neighbors. So we're not saying that anybody who drives lots of miles is going to have their price go up. It's going to be compared to the people in a similar class and category that already has very big differentials based simply on your age and where you live and whether you're in a business category.
Yeah, but I wonder, David Cash, I mean, what the caller was getting to is like for many people, there aren't other options. Mm-hmm. There aren't really good other options in public transport, mm-hmm. and they may feel penalized for mm-hmm. not being able mm-hmm. to take commuter mm-hmm. rail.
Again, as Professor Ferreira suggested, this is an opportunity for us to look at how risk is assessed and risk is paid for in a different kind of way, and it's worth taking a close look at it through this pilot, at the end of which we'll have some more concrete answers to the kinds of questions that the last caller raised.
I want to sneak one last call in here. Marlene is calling from Newton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Marlene.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, will I be taking the same
Marlene, it sounds like we're losing you on that cell phone line, but I think what you wanted to ask is you've got a Prius, a hybrid vehicle, so what would your price that you pay be different than someone who's driving maybe a less fuel-efficient SUV? David Cash?
Well, not in this program. This program does not differentiate between the efficiency of cars. There are actually a couple of different ways that we try to provide incentives for that purchasing more fuel-efficient cars in our plan. Don't need to go into detail on that, but that's a different angle on the transportation issue that we're trying to address as well.
And finally, Joe Ferreira, we touched on this a little earlier with our conversation with David Hutchinson from Progressive. You have to track miles driven somehow, and mm-hmm. there are privacy concerns there. So how is it that the state is going to put people at their ease if the privacy won't be violated?
Well, it depends on what kind of tracking one does. If it's simply total number of miles per month or per year, then you can there's little tracking. There's already the safety inspection every year that records mileage from a vehicle. If it is more involved tracking, then as was suggested earlier, there are newer technologies that can record amount of time or spent without being able to reconstruct exactly where you were. But you don't have to go down that road to get some benefit from pay-as-you-drive. Right now, the rates are quite fixed regardless of how much you drive. And we're talking about figuring out ways in which to move into more of a usage-based pricing to take advantage of the technologies that are available.
Hmm. Well, we'll see how this plan gets rolled out in the pilot phase. I'd love to have you both back to talk about it then. Joe Ferreira, Professor of Urban Planning and Operations Research at MIT, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And David Cash, Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Department of Energy and Environmental Affairs, thank you as well.
Thank you very much. A pleasure.
Well, one piece of breaking news now. On the day that we inaugurate Governor Deval Patrick into his second term, there's some sad news about a former Massachusetts governor. Paul Cellucci says he is suffering from ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. The 62-year-old Republican said in a statement just released that he's had symptoms for 4 years and that he's, quote, feeling quite well, aside from some weakness. ALS is an incurable disease of the brain and spine that leads to paralysis and eventually death. It kills 5,000 Americans a year. Former Governor Cellucci maintains a law practice in Boston, and he says he's continuing to lead an active, normal life. He and his wife, Jan, are requesting privacy. We'll be back after a short break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.